Cheryl, you've just been appointed the new Alberta Innovates Health Solution Translational Health Chair in Aboriginal Health and Wellness. What does that mean? What does that chair mean?
Well, what it means is this chair really gives me the opportunity to really focus my attention on working side by side and in partnership with Indigenous peoples and communities and organizations in Alberta. To really think about and talk about the key drivers of health for these communities and the types of interventions that we really need to improve health.
And what has been your research up to this point?
I've conducted research both in rural communities, so in First Nations communities, in several places in Canada, Ontario, Manitoba, and Alberta. And I've also done work with urban Aboriginal populations because what most people don't realize is well over 50% of Aboriginal people in Canada live in cities, and that's an often overlooked group. So I've been doing work with those groups, and my research has really focused on several things. I consider myself by training a social epidemiologist, so I'm very interested in how social experiences, social stress, and healthy experiences in our lives shape our health. And so much of my work has focused on how experiences like poverty, residential school, child abuse, and also racial discrimination are shaping the health of Indigenous peoples in this country over their lifetime. But also I'm looking at positive factors. So I have been publishing research looking at Indigenous culture. So we know right now, anywhere we go in the world, we see that the more Indigenous peoples engage in their traditional ways, we tend to see better health outcomes in those groups. And so my work has been looking at that in Alberta, for example, in cities. To what extent, if Indigenous peoples return to their traditional culture, and those are different because Aboriginal cultures are very different across cultural groups, if they return to their cultural ways, but they live in a city, what impacts does that have on health? And I have shown in my work that it seems to result in decreases in addictions like alcohol abuse, illicit drug abuse, prescription drug dependence, and even suicide attempts seem to go down, even for those who are living in cities that the culture is protective.
Now, with the work that you're going to be doing with this chair, it is going to cover a 7-year period. What kinds of things are you expected to do? What would be some of the projects that you have lined up?
Well, you know, what I'm really interested in is working, as I said, in partnership with Aboriginal communities to address issues that they identify as important. I really think that a program of research on Indigenous health cannot be driven by academia. It needs to be driven by the community. And the voices of the community really need to be front and center. So I really spend a lot of time talking to communities about where are there gaps in health service for them, and also, again, what are the factors surrounding them that seem to make it more difficult or easier to maintain good health. So as part of this chair, I'll be developing evidence-based programs that are adapted to Aboriginal ways of knowing and culture that address community-identified needs.
Well, with you being at the University of Lethbridge, you're right smack in the middle of Blackfoot territory. Can you give me an example of some of the things that are going on there already?
Well, there's a lot of work going on, both in the Kainai First Nation that's close to Lethbridge, Siksika. A lot of the First Nations communities in this territory are doing wonderful work. The culture's very strong, and people are very engaged. Also in Lethbridge itself, there's a strong groups of Indigenous peoples that are all working together, Métis, Blackfoot, also other Indigenous cultures working together to tackle things like addictions, mental health, diabetes, HIV, really a long list of issues. You know, what I'd be trying to do is really focus my time on gaps, so not to repeat what people are already doing. So just, I'll give an example. Yesterday I was in a meeting with community members and we're writing a research grant together to look at suicide prevention because the community has identified gaps in suicide prevention. So if people unfortunately do do try to attempt suicide, often they are put into a psychiatric ward for a while, but then they're sent home, and there's not a lot of follow-up. And the family's sort of left wondering what to do with this person and how to best help this person. So what the community's identified is a need for some supports there so that there's some bridging and we can prevent, for example, maybe another suicide attempt. So we were having a meeting about that yesterday, and we're developing a proposal together so that we can look for interventions that have an evidence base that we might bring to Lethbridge.
Now, what do you think brought this appointment along at this stage? Have things really changed and progressed?
Well, you know, what's wonderful about the University of Lethbridge is they have a long history. It was the very first Native American Studies department, I believe, in Canada. And, you know, that there's a number of firsts at this university in terms of looking at Indigenous health and building Indigenous partnerships. So I don't know if things have changed. I think there's a momentum that's been here for decades, and that this is just a continuation. So, for example, the Faculty of Health Sciences has just been approved and has just announced that we will have the very first undergraduate degree in Aboriginal health that'll be launching, we believe, in September 2015. So undergraduates can come to the university and actually get a degree in Aboriginal health. So there's a lot of things going on here, and this chair is, you know, an important part, but there's a lot of other wonderful things too.
That's looking at the Lethbridge area. How are you going to deal with the rest of the province?
Well, what's nice is I have wonderful collaborators across the province at University of Alberta and at University of Calgary. I was just in Calgary 2 days ago meeting about a project. Later today I'm talking to another set of colleagues in Alberta and Calgary about a different project on Aboriginal health. So there's a lot going on across the province, and I'm really fortunate to have these wonderful colleagues to collaborate with. And then Aboriginal communities are very engaged across the province, working with researchers. Where things have really changed is researchers have come to realize that these research programs cannot be driven by researchers. They must be driven by community. And so we're seeing these wonderful partnerships developing between First Nations communities and people and researchers across the province. And yeah, it's a great time, I believe. And that's why I believe we're really going to start to see change going forward, because we don't have that ivory tower perspective that was used to be so prominent.
And what do you see as being your personal goal, or I guess motivation, to actually carry on in this area?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, a lot of my research has focused on mental health and addiction, because I believe that, you know, we can deal with some of these other health issues, but mental health, there's such a stigma around mental health in Canada. And if we don't get mental health right, it's very hard for people to, you know, if they're depressed, it's very hard for someone to take care of other areas of their life. So I feel like we need to deal with mental health in the beginning. Like, it needs to be something that really we get right at first before we start thinking about some of these other health issues. And I'll just say one other thing. A lot of research, unfortunately, has been very stigmatizing, really focusing on risk factors and sort of pathologizing Aboriginal people. You always hear the term, they've been researched to death, and what benefit has it had? And so it's very easy to publish a paper saying, look how high diabetes is, or, you know, drug abuse is in this group. Very easy to publish, but what good does that do for that group? It just, you know, it pathologizes. And so I'm trying to do research in a different way, a way that highlights strengths of people, strengths of communities, and really is from the ground up.
And has practical applications that it can be used.
Another issue we've had is research has been, and academics, I would say, have been quite focused on, we have a health problem, so let's look at the behaviors causing that problem, and we just need to, you know, make a pamphlet, tell people not to engage in that behavior, and everything will be fine. And that's not what the research tells us. I mean, we really need to look at root causes. So when we think about, you know, what someone experienced in their childhood, research is very clear that has an effect on their health as adults. So, you know, we need to move beyond this behavioral focus of, you know, individuals should just sort of pull up their bootstraps and and really perhaps be a little less naive. And I really take a population health focus. So what are the drivers of populations, the health of populations rather than the health of individuals? And those are different factors that we need to look at.
Cheryl, congratulations on the appointment in this new chair. And it sounds like something, its time has come and is really needed. So thank you very much.
Thank you.